going to talk about the Lord's table. The Lord's table. From time to time, in terms of our church and other churches, someone, a deaconess ministry, might ask me, well, what is our role? What is our role? We got deacons and trustees, but what is our role? Well, one of your roles is to take care of the table. And I think sometimes we minimize the table of the Lord. There's nothing more important to the church of Jesus Christ than the Lord's table. Nothing. On that night, when Jesus established the new covenant, you know, in olden days, in the Hebrew times, they had the Passover, which symbolized the fact that they were slaves and that God put blood on the doorpost to pass over them so that they'd be set free. But they only celebrated Passover once a year. But the new covenant, we can celebrate it in as often as you want to do it. In the Baptist church, most of the time, we generally celebrate Holy Communion once a month. But there are churches that celebrate communion every Sunday. And there ain't nothing wrong with celebrating communion. How many of you know, sometimes we're so broken we ought to have it every day. But Jesus set it up so that this is his table. And I'm glad that he made it that way, because it's not my table. And it's not your table. Because there's some folk I wouldn't invite to my table. You know what I'm talking about. And church folk, we generally think that you only come to this table when you get yourself straight. You ever heard anybody say, I'm coming to church when I get straight? That means you ain't never coming. This table is not for straight folk. This table is for broken people. This table is for sinners. This table is for people who have missed the mark. This table is for people who have fallen short. You know, I was reading a story about this young soldier who was promoted to a sergeant, and he wanted to impress this private that came into his office. The private saluted him and was about to speak when the sergeant said, just a minute, I have to return a very important call to the general. So he picked up the telephone, dialed a number, and said, hello, General Johnson. I'm returning your call. Oh, yes, you need my advice. You'd like to meet with me and three other generals in a few hours. Is that right? About 2 o'clock? Okay, I'll see if I can make it. Putting down the phone, with a smug look on his face, he turned to the private and said, now, soldier, what can I do for you? The new recruit replied with a smile on his face, nothing, sir. I came to do something for you. I came to hook up your telephone. There's a whole lot of Christians trying to pretend that we are all that righteous and all of that holy. When we come to the Lord's table, we come in here acting like we've never done anything wrong. We've never told one lie. We've never looked at anybody in lust. We've never had a drink. We've never done anything wrong. You know for a fact that you are just pretending. God doesn't need pretenders. He needs people who will repent of their sins. I have messed up and I need to be covered by the broken body of the Lord and the blood of the Savior that washes away all of the sins of the world. We come to this table. It's the Lord's table. So ladies, don't get it twisted. Don't get it twisted. What you're doing here is more important than some board meeting. What you're doing here, you're preparing the body and the blood of the Lord that washes away the sins of the world. What you're doing here is important. We live in a generation now. We live in a generation now when you can go to some churches and you can't find the Lord's table. You can't see a cross. You'll see a nice screen. You may not even see, they have them, those glass pulpits. My shoes are too dirty, so I can't do that. And if you see what's behind here, you say, yeah, you can't do that. But you go to these churches, you can't find, it's a production. It's ready for a production. Look at somebody and say, life ain't no production. Life is to be lived. We have ups and we have downs, and we need the Christ. We need the cross. We need the blood. We need our sins washed away. What can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of the Lamb of God. Takes away the sins of the world. So when we come to this table, we don't come to this table trying to show how good we are. I want you to remember that first communion. Remember that first communion that night, Monday, Thursday, when Christ had all of his disciples around that table. He didn't have a bunch of saints around the table. He had a bunch of ain'ts. You know who was around the table, don't you? Judas was sitting at the table. Judas, the one who would kiss him and betray him. And the good news is, the Lord knew what was in Judas, and he still allowed him to sit at the table. I tell you the truth, I don't know if I would have been as good as Jesus. If I had known that joker was going to betray me, I wouldn't have even invited him for a snack. Amen. Never mind dinner. But you know, you wouldn't have either. Who was around the table? Judas. But not only was Judas around the table, there was Peter, the head deacon, the one who would cuss in a minute. Peter, the one who had a switchblade. Peter, the one who denied him, not one time, not two times, but three times. He was sitting at the table, and Jesus allowed him to sit at the table. And I don't know about you, but I'm glad he did. I'm glad that the table is not for perfect people. I'm glad that there was a betrayer at the table. I'm glad that there was a denier at the table. I'm glad that there was a curser at the table. I'm glad there was an imperfect person at the table, because that makes room for you and me. And if that was not the case, none of us would be able to approach this table, because it's not for perfect people. It's for broken people. I don't know why he did it. I read this story about this young soldier who had graduated from West Point. And during the Vietnamese War, he went over to Vietnam, and he was leading this platoon. And he was doing a good job. But one night, they were attacked. He got all of his soldiers to safety except one. One of his soldiers got wounded. And they were laying down, in a safe spot, but they could hear their colleague moaning and crying in pain. And they knew that if anybody went back to save him, there was a good chance that he would get killed. But finally, this young lieutenant, he couldn't take it anymore. He went over to grab the soldier, and he got to where the soldier was, but he got shot and killed before he could get back to safety. But they managed to get the wounded soldier back to safety, and then a year or two later, the parents of the young lieutenant who had got killed heard that the man that their son had saved and lost his life for was in town. So they decided to invite him for dinner to see what kind of man that their son died for. This guy came to dinner drunk. This guy came to dinner cursing, dirty, telling off-color jokes. And they tried to be nice to the guy. They put up with him, and finally, it was time for the guy to go home. He finally went out the door, and the father closed the door. And as soon as the father closed the door, the mother just fell in tears. And they said, "You mean our son died for such a man as that?" Well, Jesus died for such a person as you and me. We are nothing to brag about. We are sinners. We are drunks. We are cheats. We are prostitutes. We are all kinds of things. But Jesus died for us, and he gave us a place at the table. Whether I want you at the table or anybody else wants you at the table is not my table. It's his table. He invites rejects to his table. I can't tell you that I would invite Judas for Thanksgiving dinner. I can't tell you that. Now maybe you would, but the ones of you that I know, you wouldn't either. But this table, you know, sometimes in church I've seen communion is passed around, you know, the bread and the grape juice. I remember reading this story again about Tony Campolo tells when he was a young boy. He was in church, and communion was being passed, and there was this young woman in church. When the communion came along, she was just in tears. She was just in tears. She was just crying and crying and crying. And the communion came around, and she passed. She passed the communion. She didn't take it because she felt that she wasn't good enough, that she had sinned too bad, that God couldn't possibly want her to take the communion because she had done something wrong in her own estimation. And Tony Campolo's father turned to the girl and said, "Take it, girl. It's for you." Thank God for the church where it's for you. It's for you. It's for you. It's for you. Never mind what mama or grandmama or reverend doctor or deacon, whoever says, it's for you. There's a place at the table. I don't know about that young woman who got killed. I don't know. I don't know if she was going to church. I don't know. I don't know when the last time she had communion. I don't know. But I do know. Unconfessed sins will kill you. Unconfessed sins will give you a stroke. Unconfessed sins will give you a heart attack. Unconfessed sins will catch up with you after a while. Do I have a witness in the house? You need to find somebody to talk to. No, that song, "Have a Little Talk with Jesus," is not just a song. It's a reality. It will make it all right. Have a little talk. Now, I'm not up here telling you just to talk to Jesus and not go to a therapist. I'm saying talk to a therapist and talk to Jesus. But don't get it twisted that somehow that you're not good enough to take communion. And if you're under the idea that, oh, hey, I'm doing God a favor, I'm going to take communion today. You know, after all, I'm good. I haven't lied to anybody in 20 minutes. You know, I'm good. I don't cheat anymore. You know, but you know, we live in this world where we can try to compartmentalize our faith. You know what I'm talking about? You know, we'll be sitting in church in the choir and still a child abuser, or in the pulpit and still a wife abuser or a husband. We can compartment, or we can be in Congress and talking about we love people and go out there and vote against everything that helps people. We and go to church and just clap our hands and praise the Lord. And I want to say, if I was God, I'd say, sit down. All you're doing is making noise. Because you are not living your faith. Look at somebody and say, live your faith. If you believe it, live it. Practice it. You know, the church is not a it's not a place for saints. It's a hospital for sinners. Church. We have all kind of people in it. This is domestic. This is cancer, breast cancer month. We have many people who are recovering from breast cancer. Thank God for that. But this is also domestic violence month. We got some folk in here who've gone through some domestic violence. We got some folk on the brink. They're about to kill somebody or get killed. We got some folk who at the point where I just can't take it no more. Do I have a witness in here? And I don't expect nobody to raise their hands. But in a crowd this big, there's somebody that's in it or just coming out of it or about to go in it, and we got to name it. We got to be over with this just praising, and not opening our eyes to the pain in front of us. You preaching, Jackson. Go ahead. Yeah, they don't want to hear this. But the table. Here's the other part. At the table, the child molester is welcome. I don't like it, but it ain't my table. At the table, the domestic violence person is welcome. At the table, Scott Garrett is welcome. That's our congressman. Because it ain't my table. If it was, at this table, people, your ex is welcome. Really? Yeah. Let me know I ain't coming that Sunday. But if he or she's not welcome, then what? You and I are not welcome. This table is a table of grace. There's grace at this table. This table is not the table of law. It's the table of grace. Judas is, my God, you know, if Judas is welcome at this table, for God's sake, I know I'm welcome. I mean, if Judas is welcome, you know you welcome. And if switchblading Peter, cussing Peter, is welcome, you are welcome. It is, look at somebody and say, grace is on the table. The second thing on the table is healing. Healing. Is on the table. How many of you know that there's a whole lot of sicknesses that's got nothing to do with your physical body? You can go to the gym every day and you can pump iron, you can lift God knows how much weight, you can be a fine specimen physically and an emotional wreck psychologically, emotionally, and spiritually. Do I have a witness in the house? But I want you to know there's healing on this table. You bring your burdens to this table. You don't have to tell me all your stuff, but every now and then you got to come clean before Jesus Christ. If you want to fix it, you got to face it. Do I have a witness in the house? You can't fix nothing that you are not willing to face. You got to face it. It's tough sometimes, but if you will face it, you just might be able to fix it. This table is a place of healing. But you can't get healed. You know, somebody wrote this book some years ago, I'm okay, you okay. You know that book? Nice title. But the fact of the matter is, most of us not okay. We're making it. You know, we're making it. But if I start telling you my problems, sooner or later you're going to say, and you my pastor? Boy, you a wreck. That's why I'm so glad somebody wrote that book called The Wounded Healer. Yeah. You know, the fact of the matter is, I always say, I don't want you to be my counselor if you ain't been through nothing. You ain't had no marital problems, you can't tell me nothing. You haven't been sick, you can't tell me nothing. You haven't been up to the rough side of the mountain. You need to sit down and shut up. You haven't had any financial problems in your life. You can't understand me. That's why I don't think those billionaires in Congress have a clue on how to minister to poor people in this world. They ain't been through nothing. Every last one of them ought to have to live in the hood for 6 months. Every last one of them ought to have to go to the doctor and not have any health insurance. Every last... You know, now my heritage is coming out. I'm not saying every... Every last one of them. Every last one of them ought to go, have to go and have to stand in the food stamp line every now and then. Every last one of them ought to stand in that line and let that woman tell you, you know, you can't buy no soap with food stamp. How stupid is that? And even the conservatives are welcome at the Lord's table. At the Lord's table. Because transformation is possible. Now, some of those rascals, I wonder. But the Lord, the Holy Spirit, the dunama. We had a preacher here who was throwing those Greek words around. I thought I'd throw one around. I have been to seminary 100 years ago. Well, you know. But the Holy Spirit can be at work to transform hearts and transform minds. Do I have a witness in the house? The Holy Spirit can work on us so that our religion is not just compartmentalized, so that we'll do whatever we want to do, but our faith ought to influence how we live in this world. Do I have a witness in the house? Now, I'll be the first to tell you, we don't always live up to our faith. We believe a whole lot of stuff that we don't do. Do I have one witness? Am I the only one? I'm preaching to myself. I don't always do what I say. So I need some help. And I got a feeling I'm not the only one. But when we get to the table helps us to understand. Jackson, you got to bring your religion to your practice. Otherwise, you just what's that Bible say? A tingling, sound of brass and a tingling. You just clanging, just making a bunch of noise. And church is good for making a bunch of noise, especially the black church. But God wants us to make profession-related noise.